I also want to thank Pastor Joe for all that he has inputted in my life and the life of my family. I would like to thank Pastor Aisha and the team for all that they've done for us. May God bless them richly. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Is anyone ready to hear what the word of the Lord says? My assignment this morning is to shed some light on the priorities of the kingdom of God. Priorities of the kingdom of God. I don't know what you prioritize in your life. I don't know the first things that you are so concerned about when you wake up. I don't know about you, but I want us to have the Spirit of God expose and reveal to us what His agenda and His priorities are. Amen? As a child of the kingdom, you have to know what things comes first in the kingdom. Amen? I want to begin by telling you a story that a rabbi once told. How many of you know that we're on a journey? We are on a journey. The Bible says we are pilgrims. We are just passing through this world. There are many people I knew yesterday who are not here today. Many loved ones. It doesn't mean they don't exist. They do exist, but they are not existing in our world anymore. Because this world is passing away, amen? The rabbi said a man once left his home, left his wife and children, to go on a far journey to look for wealth to bring home. When he landed on the place that he was going, he didn't even know, he landed on a place and went to town. The following day, he went to the beach. When he went to the beach, he saw diamonds. Diamonds as big as the stones that you will see. And you know, diamonds don't really come in big sizes. The beach was full of diamonds. So he went back home, took his bag, packed all the diamonds. I mean, he has hit the jackpot. He's coming to look for money, look at diamonds. He packs it, takes it to the town to go and sell the diamonds. And they tell him that these diamonds are worth nothing here. In this nation, diamonds are like sand. Can't you see diamonds everywhere? Why do you think we don't pick them? They are valueless. They don't have any value. He was confused. What do you mean you don't have no values for diamonds? But the man said, I have a piece of advice for you though. What is expensive and if you want to make any money, you need to trade in is onions. The man said, are you serious? Diamonds don't have any value in this nation, but onions do have value. And he said, yes, if you want to make money. So the man, okay. As time when he observed that this was really true, that diamonds was worthless. So he decided to trade in the onion business. He traded, made so much money, forgot where he was coming from. Turn to the person next to you and say, may you not forget where you are going. As a child of God, may you not forget where you are heading. The man had forgotten about why he was there. All the money he made from the onion trade, he forgot that diamonds was worth something where he came from. So he decides to fill two ships full of onions and brings them home. He gets home and his wife says, what is this? Beloved, there are many things that seem to be priorities and valuable in this world that we live in. But you are just pilgriming through. You came from somewhere and you ended up here. You have no recollection of where you came from, but you have landed here on this earth. And it's a journey. That is why you were born a baby and you are not a baby anymore. You are growing, and as time passes on, you're going to move into the next level, which is going to transition from this world to another place. Now, there are two places we are all heading. One is a good place, and one is not so good, and no, it's just a terrible place, I must be frank with you. The question I want to ask you is, where are you heading? Have you forgotten where you came from? Have you ever thought that the Bible says Before God formed us in the book of Genesis chapter 1, he created us first. We were created before formed. Okay? You existed somewhere before you ended up here. Amen? And if you don't come to realization and revelation into this, you may think you are here to stay. Beloved, the last house we bought, someone lived in it, died and has moved on. And we were living in there. We are living in it. If the Lord tarries, we are going to die. Someone else is going to live in it, and they're going to move on. Are you hearing me? Tell the person next to you, that, have you got your priorities right? We are talking about kingdom priorities. We want to make impact 2020. What are you impacting? Listen, the gold, the silver. One of the things you must understand is that nothing in this earth can transition to heaven. Because earthly things can't exist in heaven. But heavenly things can exist here with you. Because you were once a heavenly being that transitioned into this world. That is why your old great-great-grandmothers, some of you may know, your great-great-great-grandmothers, you never saw them. Before you were born, they were gone. You only heard about them. Amen? You are transitioning. Amen? Amen. Tell the person next to you, get your priorities right. You will pack all the diamond, pack all the dollars, pack all the pounds, pack all the CDs, pack all the naira, and get to heaven and tell you, what be this? What is this? They will tell you, what be this? What be this? That statement is in the Bible, so don't think it's a pidgin English. Amen. Would you please send your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1 to 4. Before I get into my message, I want you to find out this information. One of the greatest kings that lived was David. Amen? But David had issues. The Bible says we are kings. If Jesus is the King of Kings, then we are the kings. We have heard a lot about the kingdom. We have heard that the kingdom has a king and is a domain. We have also heard that in that kingdom, there are kings. Because if the Bible says Jesus is King of Kings, then we are kings also. Amen? David was a king. I want to talk about King David for a moment. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1 to 4 reads, it happened in the spring of the year at the time when kings go out to battle. Say, I am a king. Beloved, if you're a woman or if you're a female, I should say, in scriptures, in the spiritual realm, there is no gender. The Bible says there is neither male nor female because in the spirit we are one. So when you tell someone you are a king, I mean, sometimes you want to qualify your king and queen. No, we are all kings. Amen? You are a king. It happened in the spring of that year, the time when kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all of Israel, and they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. At the time when kings go to war, what was he doing at home? Someone had missed their priorities. But David remained at Jerusalem. Then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman bathing. Ooh. And the woman was very beautiful. Mm. You see, sometimes we go looking for trouble. When you miss your priorities, you may end up in a place where there is trouble. When you are in the right place, everything is right there. Even if it's not, God is working on something. Are you hearing me? You need to come to a place of positioning yourself in the right place. Otherwise, you are going to get into trouble. This is a man who's supposed to be leading the army, who is supposed to be on the battlefield, but he decides to get his priorities wrong. And let's see what happens. So David sent and inquired about the woman, and someone said, is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? Then David sent messengers and took her, and she came to him, and they lay, and so on, and so on, and so on, and so on. This incident will spike and open a door that will almost destroy David himself. The miseries David had to endure, what David went through because of not getting his priorities right. And when he was confronted, sometimes, you see, beloved, say, tell the person next to you that show mercy. Show mercy, show mercy. Be merciful, be merciful. Sometimes we are so unmerciful. Nathan approaches David with his sins. And I mean, after committing this, he went on to get the husband of the woman killed and so on and so on. You know the story. But what I want to address here is that David did not show mercy. So when the story was told him, they told him the story in a parable. And you see, the Bible says life and death are in the power of your tongue. Be careful the things you say. Some of you have been clapping too much because every time that is what you say, I want to go clap, 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 clap. I want to party, 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 party. And so you end up at the party. You are releasing words you don't know. Oh, I'm never going to get married. And so you are still single. I'm never going to get healed. Listen, in spite of the conditions may be the facts, but the truth says you are healed. The conditions may be the fact that you are single, but the truth said, you shall, for this cause, a man shall leave his mother and father and shall cleave unto, are you hearing me? And the two shall be one. Say, I am one now, but the two, I'm going to have my two and we will be one. You need to start declaring things with your mouth. Are you hearing me? Priorities. And you say them and you think it's a joke and you're wondering why all these years everybody is getting married. Ask them, what's the secret? They change their confession. Hello? David utters something in the atmosphere. You tell the person again, do you know you are a king? And you are also a priest. David was a priest also. So he releases a word in the atmosphere. The man who has done and committed this sin must restore fourfold. Not knowing it was he himself he was cursing. And he will pay a heavy price. I don't want to go too deep into that. What does it mean to have priority? What is priority? Priority means something that is first, highest or higher in importance. It's a privilege, the right to precede others. It's something that should take first, something that comes before. I have so many things to do, but this is the first thing. The Bible says in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first what? So say there are first things. Always say first things first. God doesn't mind you going to a party, but do the first things right. And when you go there, remember you are a king. The last place you were, did anything show that you were a king? If you saw the royal king in Nigeria or Ghana, and you saw them doing the things you did 3 weeks ago, will you really respect them? If you saw your queen doing the things you did. Do you know you are, yours even comes with a royal attachment, you're a priest also. Do you know who you are? Do you really know who you are? You are a child of the kingdom. And there are priorities of the kingdom. And until you get your priorities right, you're just going to be running around the whole of London. Leave London, end up on some island somewhere, keep having fun, till now you are wrinkled, now you can't go anywhere, now you want to seek the Lord. The Bible says, remember your creator in the days of your youth, when your bones are energized, where you can run, when you are so strong, give your energy to God. Because beloved, this world is just temporary. There is a place we are going where rewards will be given. Would you want to live the way you lived here over there forever? And that place, the Bible says, is forever. Do you want to live it in hell or in heaven? Well, we use the word heaven, but that represents the new earth where we will be on. Because heaven is where God is. We will be on the new earth, and that's a different teaching I'm not going to go into. Okay? In the kingdom, there are certain things that has to take place first. As I said in Matthew 6:33. Now, what is the kingdom? One of the things you must understand is the kingdom is authority. The kingdom is government. The kingdom is rulership of God in heaven on earth. And you are the custodian of it. You and I have to enforce it. In the book of Genesis, he created man in his own image. And he gave man and he told man, you must have dominion. And he said, dominion, have dominion here on this earth. Do you know what it means to have dominion? Do you know what he was saying to you when you go to your workplace? You have to dominate by the Spirit of God. Not in the gossip, not in the dirty jokes they tell in the office, not in the stealing and the lies that goes on, but you bring in light into the situation because you are the one who is representing God in that place. And on top of it, you are a king. Do you know that? Dominion. What is the meaning of dominion? It's the power or the right of governing and controlling. It's sovereignty. Sovereignty. When there is sovereignty, there is no democracy. You don't vote sovereign in. It's not something you go to the polling station and vote and we want you, we don't want this one. No. Authority, a power or right delegated. God has delegated all this to you and I. Genesis 1:28, what I said earlier. Then God blessed man. Then God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over everything. But one thing I want you to see here in Genesis 1:28 says, and over every living thing that moves on this earth. It means over the spirits that are tormenting in your house, those demons, even this corona thing that everybody, look how we see it today. Is anyone here? Amen? Over everything that moves. If the virus moves, we need to have dominion over it. You begin to confess negativity. I don't mean you don't have to take precaution and just, you don't see fire and walk in it. But you're not going to sit in your house and say, my house is going to catch fire. Come on. It's two different things. You need to start taking control in the spirit. Are you hearing me? You need to start saying positive things. You need to start believing positive things. You need, because your words are life. Your words are death. Your words are life. So some things you kill. Some things you raise. Some things you kill. Some things you raise. The nasty things in your house you don't like, you kill. You use your mouth to kill it. You use your mouth to kill it. Some things you say, I want to see this in my life. You begin to declare it. You begin to decree it. Amen? But something happened in Genesis where man lost his authority. He lost it to the devil. And then Jesus comes on the scene to take that authority back. So you look at Luke chapter, turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 4, verse 5 to 7. There's an interesting conversation that takes place in the book of Luke. It says, then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms. Say kingdoms. Showed him all the kingdoms. Say kingdoms. Kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me. By who? Who delivered it to the devil? Adam. When Adam obeyed the devil, he delivered all this authority to him. And I give it to whomever I wish. The devil said, and I give it to whomever. See, the devil was trying to talk Jesus from going to Calvary to play a shortcut. Beloved, priorities of the kingdom means you cannot take shortcuts. Tell the person next to you that no shortcuts. You cannot do them microwave prayers. You cannot be falling asleep in them prayers and think you have prayed. I said, kings go to battle. Kings do warfare, and we will see that later on in the message. It was delivered to me. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. What are the things you are worshiping? What are the things you are worshiping? Today in Africa, in certain parts, people are selling their souls in something in Ghana. I know Sakawa, Nigeria. I don't know what they call the other one or the other parts of the world. You exchange your soul for money. Money that you would die and leave for someone. You don't even know who's going to inherit it. Are you hearing? But let's listen to the answer Jesus gave him, Luke 4:8. And Jesus answered to him and said, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Beloved, there are times you need to tell them voices, get behind me. Them phone calls that comes in and throws you off. Them gossip phone calls. There are some people that, if you notice, you're calling me and I'm not picking. No, it's because of gossip. The devil is a liar. I'm minding my own business. I have a flock to take care of. I need to be praying for the members. Some are not. Yes, we are all not perfect. I don't want you giving me a call telling me, did you see this? Did you see that? Did you see that? Did you see that? And I end up saying something I shouldn't say. And they say, I hear you. I'm here. Put the phone down. Say, they want to hear what you are. And what do you think about it? Well, what I think is put the phone down, get in your Bible and read your word. We have the Bible says that a kingdom divided against itself will not stand. We are of a kingdom. The Bible, remember when Jesus was told that he's casting out demons in the name of Beelzebub, the prince of darkness, the demons, their head principality. Jesus said, even Satan's kingdom is organized. There are regiments, there are rankings, there are principalities. There are principles, there are higher rankings in the kingdom of the enemy. Just like how there are in the kingdom of God. There are rankings. Are you hearing me? But the rankings does not mean we are divided. Are you hearing me? We're not going to be in a house and you're going to see disaster coming my way. And then you pick your phone and, have you seen what is happening with Tommy? I told him, I said he shouldn't do it. Get into prayer. You can see something is happening to a brother in the church. Pray for them. If you're going to tell me about someone, it means you want me and you to agree. Tell me the problem. What is the solution? If you don't want solution and you just want me to ask you to gossip and make people look what they are not because you were once the same, we have all come from that. Are you hearing me? No one is perfect. Salvation is a continuous thing. That is why the scripture says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It's a process. We are saved. We are being saved. We shall be saved. That is why this is your body. Paul himself said, who will deliver me from this body? This body, as long as you are in it, is going to have some feelings. Especially after preaching, especially after praying, after fasting. Let me digress here a little bit. The enemy just attacked me, one of my children. And the easiest thing for me to have done was to just have a pity party in it. But the Lord told me no. So I called a 3-day fast in my household. And we started fasting. Then the enemy told me, in a couple of days, the church is going to fast for 21 days. Do you sure you can handle it? And I said, the devil is alive. It's better I start it now. So when the church's one starts, I won't struggle with it. We engage in warfare. And that was the period where I had to do a lot of spiritual duties. And the best thing in the natural for me to have done was to say, I'm not doing it because of this. I'm not doing that. No. I said, I'm going to do it. And the power of God that I saw and the moving of God and some things that I've seen God shift. Beloved, the battle is in your prayer. The battle is in the words you are speaking. The battle is in you knowing why you are here for such a time as this. It is not time to have a pity party. It's not time to have... The Bible says the kingdom of God is not meat, eating and drinking. You are a king and kings go to war. We have online prayer. How often do you log on? Some people, even if they've planned a cell in your house, you still will come late. In a minute. As soon as we're sharing the grace, now you're going to show up. It's about priorities. Say priorities. First things first. I want to watch a program, but let me go pray first. There is football on TV. Why will I leave coming to church, coming to anywhere because of football, which I am going to pay money to watch? And it is recorded, I can watch it again and again and again. Beloved, don't be deceived. The Bible says God is not mocked. You cannot be doing this and be mocking God. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. One of the things that Jesus was doing back on my message was that you must understand that Jesus was the kingdom in person. Jesus was the kingdom in person, okay? The anointed one and his anointing. One of the names of Jesus is the light of the world. Okay? And what the name of the enemy is, the prince of darkness. Now, darkness covers light. So what the enemy's agenda is always is blocking the truth from entering into you and I, our minds. Okay? This means the assignment of Jesus was to illuminate the world through revelation. When Jesus comes on the scene, he brings light onto the scene. Jesus said something before he left the service. As long as you and I, as long as we are in this world, we are the light of this world. The last time you went to your workplace, was there anything that showed that you were light? Did anything suggest that you were light? The last time you were on holiday, did anything suggest that you were the light of the world? Or you were the Azonto queen and Azonto king? Or you were the shocky king? On that day, say on that day. Say, Lord, for a moment, say, Lord, prepare me for that day. Just for a moment, just begin to pray. Just begin to pray for a moment. Lift your hands and begin to pray. Say, Lord, prepare me for that day so that I will not be taken like you coming like a thief in the night. The Bible says he will come unannounced. He will come unannounced. May you be ready. May you be ready. May I be ready. Lord, let grace come. Let grace come. Let grace come. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'm preaching to you as much as I'm preaching to myself because the temptation we all face. You may be seeing handsome men, I may be seeing beautiful women. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Beloved, if you will dig deep into your word, revelation will come and you will see why certain things you mustn't do them. Okay? We have established that the enemy's agenda is just to keep people in ignorance. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. Can we turn to it, please? So the main mission of Jesus was to bring revelation to the word of God about what kingdom is. Because we are children of the kingdom, but we don't understand fully what it means to be in the kingdom. So everybody does what they feel like. We come to church when we feel like, we pray when we feel like, we do this when we feel like. But kingdom, being a kingdom-minded person, you don't do things because you feel like it, because you're not always going to feel like eating. How many of you ate chips from January to this time? Even though you may want to eat it sometimes, you wouldn't want to eat it sometimes. Sometimes even you don't want to eat, especially those that work late. You come home and you don't even want to eat. Sometimes eating is a burden. I know some people, eating is, hey, bring it on. But For some, I used to be one of them where eating would be such a problem. Listen, if you want to eat, eat the word of God. Amen. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But happy is the one who keeps the law. The same scripture in the Old King James Version, it says, without a vision, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. In Hosea, it said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We don't know, so we are being destroyed. And that is all the agenda of the enemy. Listen, the enemy, who has gone home to find an enemy standing there, you know, ready to box? No, the enemy will keep you in ignorance. Like he's keeping many of the people in this world in ignorance and thinking what they believe is not right is the right thing, and they're doing it, and they will fight you because they think that is the right thing. The devil is a liar. Touch the person next to you that the devil is a liar. Right, let me give you a few priorities of the kingdom. The first priority is that seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's the first priority. You must seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So the first thing you seek is the kingdom. Do you know why? Because God lives in his kingdom. So all he's trying to tell you and I is that we need to look for God's address. If you were told, leave your house and come and live in Buckingham Palace, you know, they don't pay anything there. Do you know that? Do you know everything is free? Except the workers get paid? The queen doesn't. Everything is free. What about the King of Kings, the King Eternal, Most High, the only wise God who created this whole world? He said, look for my address. Come to my house. You know how the rich used to do back home? Come home. Oh boy, come home. The money is there. Amen? So you seek God's address. You seek God's kingdom. Two, loving God with all your heart. Turn to Matthew 22:37, please. Loving God with all your... Sorry, loving God with your all. I beg your pardon. Loving God with your all. Everything with your all, your car, your money, your wife, your children, your everything. You have to love God with it. Okay? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Because when you love God with everything, it is easy to do things for God. Do you know when you love people, you want to do everything for them? When people love you, they just want to even lie down for you to walk on them. They don't. When people love you, that's why when people get into relationship blind and they get into the relationship with the wrong person, it ends up very disastrously. Because the Bible says, watch and pray. That's a smart move. You keep one eye closed and one eye open. Never enter into anything blinded. One eye closed, one eye open. So you can see what is around. But what are you going to pray for anyway if you don't know what's going on around you? I go home, my children think I don't hear all the conversations. I am in my bed and I can hear every little word. And sometimes they think some things I do not know. When even before you come to light, I said, I knew it, but I just kept, because I know in the end it will fall at my feet. They'll be having a good discussion and I'm hearing everything, detailed conversations. That is, I'm talking about my children, not about the Father himself. God is omnipresent. Wherever you are, he is. But sometimes you think God is not there. And then you look around, oh, nobody's, I'm not going to tell. God has seen it. Tell the person that you, God has seen it already. Number three, Luke 10, 18, 19. We're talking about kingdom priorities here. Walking in the authority and power of God. Luke 10, 18 and 19 says, and he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and on scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. This is your assurance. This is your assurance. There are situations you'll be calling people, you are wasting your time. Listen, when Jesus, let me tell you something. When Jesus healed the blind man, yeah, the one that he will heal twice, he rubbed, he said, I see people like walking like trees. The first time the man said, I see people. The Bible says, because the folks in that town were unbelievers, Jesus took the man out of the city, took him outside the city gate to heal him. There are things you need to only have people who are in agreement with you to tell them. Especially some promotions coming your way. It's not everything you tell everyone. The one you tell is Yahweh. You begin to enforce it in the spirit. You begin to pray into it in the spirit. But because the enemy has darkened our minds and think the gossip sound, gossip is sweet, isn't it? When it's not you they're talking about, hey, I know, hey, yeah. And you think it's only women that gossip, men. Some men can gossip more than anything. Things that I say, ah, did you, I said, bro, so you look at these things too? Let me move on before I get into trouble. Okay? You walk in the authority, so you begin to address things. Amen? Four, renewing your minds. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove what is that good. Because, you see, the Bible says, let the wheat and the tares grow up together. That is why you cannot come to church and everyone you find in church think they are really saved. And you cannot go to church and think everybody is good. And you cannot go to church and think everybody is perfect. And you cannot go to church and, listen, what about you yourself? How many years have you been in church? Are you perfect? Be watchful and mindful. Renew your minds. Are you hearing me? Don't let everything you see be, you think, oh, no. Renew your minds. See things from a spiritual perspective. And you'll be picking things in your spirit. And when you pick them up, don't disregard them. Because that is how God speaks to us. In the little things. Okay? Do not conform to this world. You'll be able to prove that which is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Number five, walk humbly before God. Love mercy and do justly. We're talking about priorities. He has shown you, oh man, Micah 6:8. Micah 6:8. He said, he has shown you, oh man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you? He said, God has shown us that which is good. But what does God require from us? Let's see. But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. If you do justly, many of the chaos we face in this world, if everybody did that, we won't have them. Even in your own home, even in your own work, even in your own teams, let me come bring it home now, in your own teams within the church, let's be humble. Say, be humble. Without humility, it's going to be hard for you to walk with God. 6, winning souls and turning them into disciples. Matthew 28:19. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus said, go and make disciples, not converts. Those who show up on Sunday, Monday to Friday, they are something else. We have two gowns, someone said. We have two different gowns at home. There's one that we bring to church on Sunday, and there's one that you see me and say, I'll be there here too. Some places you find people, you would be surprised. Are you hearing me? Hear ye what the word of the Lord is saying. 7, you have to. 7, walking in the anointing and power of the Holy Spirit. How God anointed, that's Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good. See, I am anointed. Now ask the person who said, are you been doing good? Have you been doing good? Have you been doing good? The anointing is for you to do good as well. Do you know that? The anointing is for you and I to do good. Are you hearing me? Many of us think the anointing is just to lay hands and let people are healed and let, you know. The anointing is not just that. As we are reading, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Say, God is with me. So if God is with you, please, that woman in the workplace that is really a problem, show them love. Let me tell you a quick story. There's a guy in my workplace that thinks I owe him my whole life. He works for me. He thinks I owe him. Literally, I belong to him. I don't know why people come in my life and they think I belong to them. You know, they think I am this. You know, they have to have access to me anytime. Beloved, I belong to God. And so he's been upset with me to the degree that if he could kill you, he would kill me. It was that serious. So the thing became so, and he's been spreading so many things about me, and every time it turns out to be untrue. So the Lord told me, show him love, more love. I said, Lord, this is enough love. Say, more love. Do him good. More love. More love. More love. Beloved, the guy is like, he's lost his mind now. Oh, hello. I said, look. Love conquers all things. The whole laws of the prophets, and Jesus said, it all hangs on love. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart and all your soul. And then the next thing is to love your neighbor. If you love your neighbor as myself, you wouldn't want me to be, you know. Do we, listen, for a moment say, Lord, give me love, give me love. Give me more love. Say, give me more love, Lord. We need it, we need it. Amen, I have to rush through, I've only got, right. Okay, 8, engaging in warfare through prayer. I've touched on it, but I'm going to read a scripture to it. 2 Corinthians 10:3-4 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Because remember, this world, spiritual, wicked, dark spirits are trying to invade your privacy through the person you work with, through the person who is in your home. Are you hearing me? So when you know that we are not walking and dealing with fleshly things, just let them insult you. Go and deal with them in the secret place. Okay? That is where the battle takes place. When I said you were king, I didn't mean go and take a gun and start, hey, I'm a king, I'm going to war. You know, it doesn't mean that. Go in the closet and pray. Amen. 9, zeal for the Lord's house. Psalm 69:8-9, I'm just going to read it quickly. It says, I have become a stranger to my brothers. When you have zeal for God's house, you become a stranger to your brothers, to your sisters, to your wives, your husbands. I'm just saying generally. Listen, because when you want to do things for God, sometimes they want to pull you somewhere else. And you know, doing things for God will cost your social time. You know that. Like how the anniversary is coming and most of us have to be here early. We'll see. Zeal for the house of the Lord. I have become a stranger to my brothers and an alien to my mother's children because zeal for your house has eaten me up. And the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. Beloved, may you have zeal for the house of the Lord. May you have zeal for the house of the Lord. This is the bottom of my message. The number one priority after you find where God lives, you want to have zeal for where God lives. You want to have zeal for the closet. You want to have zeal for the presence of the Lord so that the atmosphere, say atmosphere, the Holy Spirit works on atmosphere. Shall you stand to your feet? The Holy Spirit works on atmospheres. And I'm, oh, Rikasata Barianda. Beloved, the rest of the points are in the notes because of time. I said the Holy Spirit works in atmosphere. And if the zeal of God's house has eaten you up, you would want the presence of God's house to be in your home. So you walk in your house and all you're hearing is things that inspire your spirit. Begin to pray for a moment. I want you to turn where you are as an altar. There's a few things I would like to pray into it briefly, but turn where you are. Begin to pray. Ask God for zeal. Ask God, those watching online, please ask God for zeal. What is killing us and not us pursuing the kingdom is zeal. Because if the kingdom of God is where God lives, and you have zeal for where God lives, that is where you want to be. That is why a person wrote a song and said, in your presence, that's where I belong. That is where you belong. And that is where you want to be. In your presence. Worship team, can you make